First reading is Psalm 68, verses 1 to 10. May God arise, may his enemies be scattered, may his foes flee before him. As smoke is blown away by the wind, may you blow them away. As wax melts before the fire, may the wicked perish before God. But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Sing to God, sing praise to his name, extol him with rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord, and rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing. But the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. When you went out before your people, O God, when you marched through the wasteland, the earth shook, the heavens poured down rain, before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel. You gave abundant showers, O God, you refreshed your weary inheritance. Your people settled in it, and from your bounty, O God, you provided for the poor.
The second reading is taken from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 14. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers.
And the third reading is from John 17, 1 to 11. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one.
Let's just pray for Wendy as she comes up. Father, we ask you be with Wendy as she speaks. Thank you for the the way you've spoken to her in her preparation. We ask that you bless her in her speaking and us in our listening and our hearing you. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's been a jolly difficult week, hasn't it? Not only is there political uncertainty and wrangling and promises which accompany any election, but also we've seen and felt the terror, the pain, the loss, and unnecessary suffering caused by the suicide bomber in Manchester Arena. Our hearts and thoughts go out to those families hit by such a loss, and to that community of Manchester and that city. In some ways, it feels like it's people that we know, isn't it? It's our country. It could happen anywhere. And I know that in our prayers, we'll be taking time to reflect, to be quiet, and to pray for that community. Actually, for most of us, we probably didn't even notice that Ascension Day has come and gone. It always falls on a Thursday, which is a strange day. It's a working day. There's no commercial hype. There's always commercial hype around Christmas and Easter. We can't possibly miss them. But Ascension is one of the four great Christian festivals, along with Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. And it recalls how the risen Christ leaves his disciples, ascending once again into heaven after giving them very specific and important instructions. What is it exactly that we're celebrating? Are we celebrating Jesus leaving us? Jesus leaving the disciples alone? Seems a strange thing to celebrate, doesn't it? But actually, it's the beginning of 9 days of preparation and prayer as we lead into Pentecost, which is the great celebration that even though Jesus has risen again to be with his Father, the Holy Spirit comes and falls upon his people at Pentecost. And that's the beginning of the church. So what we're going to be doing, starting from Thursday, even if you didn't know it, leading through to Pentecost is a particular significant time of prayer and preparation. Actually, we've decided as a church to take part in what we're calling, or what the Archbishop is calling, Thy Kingdom Come. The Archbishop of Canterbury has called all the Church of England, but also the Anglican Communion and churches right around the world to join what he calls a great wave of prayer throughout the world. People pledging to pray in their homes, in our churches, and our communities, praying, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth, in our families, in our communities. And so, to help us with thinking about this theme, Ascension to Pentecost, I'm going to look at three areas. The first is absence. What do we do when God seems absent in our situation? The second is presence. And when we think about presence, we're going to ask this question. What does it mean to pray, Thy kingdom come? And then finally, we're going to look at prayer and power. And this is looking at the question, what does it mean to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in Mark's Tay? So what does it mean for us here and now? So first, to the absence. Isn't it interesting that the entire year, starting with Christmas, we celebrate God with us, don't we? We celebrate God's coming to be with us. And yet here, in this strange period, we could call it a hiatus in time, it feels like, to the disciples at least, that God isn't there. Jesus has gone. He's left them for a second time, the first time being his death on the cross, the second time being his ascension. God is absent. I've actually chosen a picture there. You might recognize it from the press or from TV. It's a picture of the Albert Square in Manchester. It's absolutely packed with people who have come together to think about and to come to a prayer vigil I guess in that place of bewildering vacuum that they feel, where is God, where is hope in all of this? They come bringing doubt, regret, anxiety, and fear. And I guess in some ways, what's happening there is similar, although without the specific geographical and sort of pictorial effect of what was happening to those disciples. They felt desolation. Ignatius of Loyola, he's a 16th century priest and saint, and he's the founder of the Jesuit movement, and he talks about this word desolation as opposed to consolation. Des sol, meaning without light, desolation, whereas consolation is with soul, console, meaning with light. When we feel desolate, we feel without light. And actually, these two things, ascension and what was happening in Manchester, they were quite clearly linked by Dr. Sam Wells. Did any of you listen to Thought for the Day on Radio 4 on Thursday morning? Dr. Sam Wells was talking about Ascension Day, Thursday, Ascension Day, but also reflecting on the Manchester bombing. He was reflecting on how even out of a place of deepest fear, we can encounter hope, we can encounter God. And actually, haven't we seen that in that society, those people are determined not to let terror defeat them? Instead, they've together announced that they're going to work for a better nation, a better, more integrated society, a society where Muslims work with Christians, where Sikhs work together with Jews. They're not going to allow terror to disrupt them, and that's brave. At the same time, we're all afraid, aren't we? But people who decide, actually, I am going to go to that concert that I've booked. I am going to get on that tube. I am going to carry on going to work, go about my daily routine, because we will not allow terror and fear to win. We want hope and love and unity to prevail, don't we? So back to the disciples. Sam Wells talked about that amazing thing that out of this group, he says this, "This is the remarkable fact. The greatest historical argument for Christianity is that otherwise inexplicable transformation of these 11 terrified and dispirited disciples into hopeful and dynamic and invigorated apostles." So somehow that echo chamber of fear became for them not dismantling of certainty, but instead the clarification of all faith. What was it that made the difference? What changed them from feeling overwhelmed by absence and fear into proclaiming God's presence boldly? Part of it was the getting together. Part of it was the praying together. Part of it was the power of the coming of the Holy Spirit. So let's move into the second sort of section of reflection of my talk, which is about presence. There's two pictures there. One is of the Holy Spirit coming. Do you know what? It's so hard to picture the presence of God. Most pictures of God's presence are symbols of God's presence. You can't take a photograph of God's presence. So here in the first picture, we have the disciples, and actually those disciples, you probably can't see them quite clearly, but they people from all different cultures and faiths and parts of the world. You can see the flames of fire on their heads. You can see the power coming down. Jesus' hands are right at the top and sort of breathing into these disciples. And the second image I've chosen is one of candles. Because isn't it true that at times where we feel pain, loss, or when we want to pray for somebody or something in particular, we often light a candle, don't we? And actually, again, some of the images we've seen on the news have been people going, taking flowers, lighting candles. That's part of the act of remembrance. So those candles are symbolic of God's light, his consolation, his presence in our community. What does it mean to pray, thy kingdom come? Kingdom. King, rule, authority. When the disciples gathered around Jesus in that reading from Acts, they asked this question. This is just before he's ascending to heaven. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? You haven't done it yet. You've been with us and then you died and now you're back again and you're telling us you're going to heaven. When are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Remember, at that time, the Romans were ruling. Caesar was Lord. People worshipped Caesar as if a god. The Jews, on the other hand, were subjugated. They were oppressed by Roman rule. What the disciples wanted to know was how and when Jesus would restore this kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, thinking back to King David, the sort of peak of all of Israel's history. We know now that they just didn't have a clue, did they? That the kingdom of God wasn't going to be a physical, a political, a military victory. That's the wrong idea of God's kingdom. They had the wrong idea, and sometimes we do too. Instead, his kingdom is built not on military victory or a physical place, but it's built on love. And so we see this in our John's reading. Jesus is actually praying to his Father. He prays about his own glorification, but he also prays for the disciples. He prays for us. He prays for the people who know him. And he says this to his Father, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. He talks about the authority that he has over all people, the Romans, Caesars, Theresa May, Labour, Conservative, the Green Party. He has authority, but his authority, it tells us, is that we might have eternal life. He says, now this is eternal life, that they know you. They, the people, know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. So it turns out that his kingdom and Jesus' glorification, his ascending to heaven, is not about overthrowing these earthly rulers, but about relationship with God through Jesus. That's what establishes his kingdom. That's what brings eternal life. It's relationship. And that's what brings God's presence to us, God with us. Tim was talking earlier, wasn't he, about his business partner. And what he's praying for his business partner for is that he has a relationship with God. Now that takes time to come. Any relationship takes time to come. There might be an encounter like he had with that lady. He's probably had other times where he's felt something mystical is going on here, something spiritual is going on here. But it's the relationship with God that will bring him this peace, this love, this joy, and this eternal life that he's seeking. This is the good news that the disciples witnessed to and proclaimed. Only they couldn't do it in their own strength, could they? They were pretty normal, everyday people like you and me. They weren't orators, they weren't scholars, they weren't educated. What brought them out of that desolation, we've already thought of that, to consolation, was their prayer together. The power and transforming presence of the Holy Spirit. So Acts 8 says, and this is Jesus talking, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, in Mark's Tay, and to the ends of the earth. He didn't quite say Mark's Tay, but we are the ends of the earth, aren't we? So we go to this final question. We're thinking about prayer and power here. What does it mean to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, here and now in Mark's Tay? And of course, we pray this every Sunday. It's part of the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? What does it mean practically? A part of the answer is what the disciples did. They joined together, verse 14 says in Acts chapter 1, in prayer. Not just the disciples, the women, Mary, Jesus' mother, and his brother. So the whole community was there. They reconnected with what was truly and deeply and rightly loved. Their relationship brought unity, not only with one another, but with God as well. Not long after that, unbeknown to them, known to us, power and energy through the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't know if they actually saw the flames and felt, but it says in the Bible what seemed like the wind and what seemed like flames of fire. In other words, it was a tangible, visible, physical experience of God with us. Jesus, he was one person. He was confined to one geographical place, just as we are. He couldn't be in two places at once. He ascended to heaven to be with the Father, but at the same time, he enabled his Spirit to be everywhere. Somehow, his chosen means of transforming people and transforming our community is about us. It's about you and me. The way he brings gifts of love and joy and peace, long-suffering and gentleness and goodness, is through his Spirit. And each one of us can know his Spirit. And so he replaces this fear with peace and courage. He replaces this hate and terror with action. So this week in particular, we're going to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in Alderman Mark's Tay as it is in heaven. We're part of the answer to that prayer. Now you might know already. If you don't know, I'd be surprised. But if you don't know, tomorrow, Bank Holiday Monday, we're going to be having a wonderful event. It's a community, we call it a benefice event, because Mark's Tay and Alderman together are the benefice. We're calling all our community together to have fun. The bishop's coming. He represents the church. We're saying we want to be together, eating food, listening to music, enjoying one another's company, listening to what the bishop has to say about thy kingdom come, but also to be a visible out there on the street reminder that Jesus is part of our community, that his kingdom is part of our community. We heard from Peter about the thing that's been laid on people's hearts about actually moving into the communities that we're part of. It's lovely to be in church together, but goodness, there's a lot of people who aren't here that are part of Mark's Tay. Sometimes we have to go out there. So God is calling us, and we are particularly focusing on prayer. There's two things, apart from the Bank Holiday Monday celebration. We're also calling to prayer in a particular way. Peter talked about the prayer walk. We've had that. But on Wednesday, we're going to have 24 hours, beginning at midnight, finishing at midnight, where different people, and Andrew's got the list, you can still put your name on the list, but you can pray any time, where different people are going to take over from one another in this wonderful chain of prayer throughout the day for our community. Now, we've done this before. And so you'll see these fantastic posters with little guides to think about prayer. Where do they start? Does it start that side or this side? At the back, that's number one, then move round. So if you do come into the church to pray, and of course you are welcome to come any time of the day or night, start there, move around like that. But Helen, who's together with Andrew, has been the sort of resourcer behind this, the person behind this, she's sent out by email to all of you resources. So you don't have to be praying in the church. You can be praying in your home. You can be praying in your car. You can be praying wherever you are. Thy kingdom come. thy will be done. And what we're praying is we're praying for a visible reminder of Jesus Christ in our lives. So, two things. One, corporate prayer, which I've just talked about, prayer for the whole church. The other, you've got these little strings, these little cords. I want you to tie a knot for each particular person that God has laid on your heart to pray for, to pray that God's presence would be felt in their lives in a more significant way this week. I've got five knots because I've got some of my family, I've got a colleague at work, and I've got a person I play squash with. Those are my five people who I'm particularly praying for at the moment. God, bring your presence into these people's lives. So tie knots, and when you tie knots, maybe you haven't got anybody in mind at the moment. You might want to ask God, who is it that you want me to pray for? You might even have a business in one of your knots, a business in Mark's Tay. I'm going to finish by showing you a short video which Justin Welby has produced, talking about Thy Kingdom Come. And whilst you're watching it, I'd like you to remember these three themes that we've considered. Absence. What do I do when God doesn't feel present in my situation? Presence. What does it mean to pray Thy Kingdom Come? And prayer and power. What does it mean to pray Thy Kingdom Come here and now for Mark's Tay? Let's have a little watch.